are listening to Radio Maria, and this is Father Toby with your word for today. And let's begin with today's gospel, which is taken from John chapter 21. Jesus showed himself again to the disciples. It was by the Sea of Tiberias, and it happened like this. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two more of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said, "I'm going fishing." They replied, "We'll come out with you." They went out and got into the boat, but caught nothing that night. It was light by now, and there stood Jesus on the shore, though the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. Jesus called out, "Have you caught anything, friends?" And when they answered no, he said, "Throw the net out to starboard, and you'll find something." So they dropped the net, and there were so many fish that they could not haul it in. The disciple Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." At these words, "It is the Lord," Simon Peter, who had practically nothing on, wrapped his cloak round him and jumped into the water. The other disciples came on in the boat, towing the net and the fish. They were only about 100 yards from land. As soon as they came ashore, they saw that there was some bread there and a charcoal fire with fish cooking on it. Jesus said, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." Simon Peter went aboard and dragged the net to the shore full of big fish, 153 of them. And in spite of there being so many, the net was not broken. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples was bold enough to ask, "Who are you?" They knew quite well it was the Lord. Jesus then stepped forward, took the bread and gave it to them, and the same with the fish. This was the third time that Jesus showed himself to the disciples after rising from the dead. At several points in his writing, David Foster Wallace used the phrase, "Every love story is a ghost story." It's a haunting turn of phrase, pun very much intended and not apologized for, and it has puzzled his many fans both as to its origins and its meaning. David Foster Wallace actually attributed it to Virginia Woolf, but it's nowhere to be found in her writings. The only place it seems to have come up before Foster Wallace's use is in the writings of an Australian author, Christina Stead, but in an obscure and unpublished story. So its origins are somewhat obscure. Did perhaps Foster Wallace and Stead come up with the phrase independently? It's not impossible. But more importantly, what does it mean? Every love story is a ghost story. Well, this is my take. David Foster Wallace was haunted by his past and anxious about his future, which made the present at times unbearable to him. And as you read his biography, which has this phrase, "Every love story is a ghost story," as its title, you get a sense of a man who was both more brilliant than I had previously realized and more tragic. The first time that he started to take Alcoholics Anonymous seriously, his sponsor told him that he had to apologize to the people he had hurt in the past, a task he went about with a diligence which would be astonishing to most of us, and was painful. He truly recognized that he could behave in despicable ways, small and large, to people who he loved and people he didn't know, and this haunted him, and it should bother us. And then there was the matter of his present. Success came not easily to Wallace, but it did come early. Even whilst at uni, even whilst dropping out of uni at points due to bouts of depression, his brilliance was recognized, and his first novel was heralded by some as the first work of a major new talent, one who some reviewers thought would be an era-defining talent, and many would argue that in fact he was, and I would be one of them. But he always worried that the best things that he wrote were in the past. He was tormented by the idea that he might never write something as good as he had in the past, tormented by the idea that he would never meet someone who would truly love him into the future. He was terrifically ambitious in what he wanted to achieve, but found himself perennially frustrated by his limits. His biographer D.T. Max writes of him that having no centre to his work, he seemed to have no limits either. And I'd add that no man can truly live well without a centre and without recognising his limits. And I think Wallace would have nodded his head at this as well. In many ways, as you read his writing, you read of a man searching for a centre, and all he found were false centres, false anchors, alcohol, marijuana, stronger stuff, and sex. And in all these false centres, he found something of that centre described by Yeats that will not hold. Things fall apart, the centre cannot hold. Mere anarchy is loosed upon the world. The blood-dimmed tide is loosed, and everywhere the ceremony of innocence is drowned. The best lack all conviction, while the worst are full of passionate intensity. I remember at a wedding I was fortunate enough to be a deacon at in Bermuda, the brilliant homily by the priest began with the line, "Everything you love will die." It was certainly an arresting opening to a wedding homily, shocking even, but it was true. And Wallace, I think, recognised this. Relationships were fragile. The glory of success and acclaim faded away all too quickly. Everything that he loved ultimately ended up in the past tense. If life didn't take them away from him, well, death would. In this way, every love story was indeed a ghost story. This is why the resurrection matters so. As Jesus eats with his disciples on the beach in today's gospel, he shows them in his eating with them that he is not a ghost. He is no mere spirit. St. John links Jesus showing himself to them after rising from the dead explicitly with his taking the bread and giving it to them. And elsewhere on the road to Emmaus, they recognize him in the breaking of the bread. And further on in Luke 24, when the disciples are not convinced that he is truly risen, when they still suspect they are seeing a vision or a ghost, he asks them for food to eat. The link between eating and the resurrection is a key Christian symbol. Ghosts do not eat. Mere spirits have no need for bodily sustenance. And it is in the Eucharist, the heavenly banquet, that we receive the food on earth which we need to sustain us on the road to heaven. A ghost, no matter its love for you, cannot give its body to you, because it has no body to give. And so the resurrection is the one love story that is not a ghost story. But it's more than just one isolated story. It's the story that transforms the possibilities of every other love story from inevitable ghost story to enduring love story. The risen Lord is the one who, on the cross as he dies, speaks his words of forgiveness. The forgiveness offered us in the cup of salvation poured out at the Last Supper and on the cross, the forgiveness which saves us from forever being haunted by our past or forced to deny it. But crucially, he is also the risen eternal Lord, the one who transforms our present and our future. That's the invitation to us of Christ. It's one which Foster Wallace searched for mostly in the wrong places in this life, but which I hope the Lord, in recognizing the sincerity and difficulty of his search, is still extending to him in the next. Now let's listen to Roll Away the Stone by Tom Conry.
Saying all our plans are empty, they have been saying, where is their God now?
Roll away the stone, see the glory of God. Roll away the stone, roll away the stone.
Roll away. You've been listening to a podcast from Radio Maria. If you enjoy these programs, please consider becoming one of our monthly donors. All you need to do is visit www.radiomariaengland.uk and click on the Support Us tab for various options. We rely entirely on donations, so thank you to all our listeners for their generous support.